straight to penis length.
Let's do this. All right. We can just talk about penises some more.
It's. I think we've met our quota for the month.
We have a quota?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is improviser, sketch comedian, and poet Joe Bozick. We talk about answering your children's tough questions and comedy.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Molly Glover.
Well, hello.
And this week, our guest is local improv actor, comedian, Joe Bozick.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yay. We're great. Thanks for asking.
Yay. Yay.
Yes, and I'm here.
Oh, yes.
Improv. Well done.
That's how it goes.
That was really good.
That's great. Now do it with some status.
Yes,
and we're at a barber shop. Yeah.
Yes, and your report is late, Johnson. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing very well, especially now that the weather is starting to turn a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
It has me feeling good.
We're actually getting our little bits of spring in Minnesota before we go straight into road construction.
We did have fourth winter, though.
Yeah.
There was a night in late May where it was like 30 degrees overnight.
I woke up with
the windows open and wanted to die.
That was really unacceptable.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out there.
Global warming, right?
Right.
I guess not.
Clearly.
Yeah.
That one data point disproves all the science.
That's it.
Joe, people might, if they're fans of improv in the Twin Cities, they probably recognize you from probably Ferrari McSpeedy.
That's correct. Yes. Ferrari McSpeedy is an improv duo and a sketch comedy duo. It's me and Mike Fotis, and we've been together since 2001, performing and doing all that stuff. Although we've been friends for much longer.
Aww.
But yeah, so we do a lot of stuff at Huge Theater with that, and then also during the Fringe season, we usually have a show going on during then. And we'll be back this year at the Fringe Festival.
You guys have done some of my favorite Fringe shows.
Oh, well, thank you.
Was a really, really good show. I loved Speech.
Thank you.
And the one that I can't ever remember the name of, even though it was my favorite, was the mountain...
Billy Beachwood
and the mountain of
Billy Beachwood and the Mountain of Terror,
I believe.
And boy, if you can ever end a show with all the characters in the play getting pelted to death by pennies raining from the sky.
It was brilliant.
That is the way
I'm
to
sorry.
Do it.
It was my favorite ending to a Fringe show ever. I could not get enough of that. I went to see the show 3 times just because I loved how it ended.
Was Ferrari McSpeedy, did they do the show that you said that was the kids show that was so good? A couple years ago, I'm trying to remember that was
For Humors.
Okay.
That was Stories from the Wayside.
Okay.
Oh, right.
I remember you guys were like a hot ticket when we were doing our first Die Laughing. Like there was we got to get Ferrari McSpeedy, and that was the first I'd heard of you at the time because
and they were like, no, we can't do it. We're all busy and stuff.
And I was like, that's an awesome name.
It is. Yeah, it's a great name. That's half the battle, right? Any improv group is
if you get a good name, you're set.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need talent.
That's nothing else. You just coast on that.
A name and shirts and you show up.
So we've gushed over Joe's talent for a while.
You're a parent.
That is true. Of two children, two girls, Sophie and Emily, 6 and 3 currently.
Aww.
Although that changes very quickly.
Yeah.
Every day.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
When we were kind of talking about what we want to talk about, that's meta, during the recording, one of the things you had mentioned is at 6, she's kind of getting old enough to, like, ask the big questions.
Yes.
And recently you were straight up confronted or asked what you believe, or
yes. So here's a little backstory. The street that we live on, there are a couple of houses that also have other kids. So like when it's nice out, when it's summer or nice day in spring, all the kids are just outside racing up and down the block on their bicycles and scooters and all this stuff. And I think one of the families is much more religious than we are. Right?
Sure.
and in so much as it's very easy to be much more religious than I am. But that we were over there at a birthday party, and then the following day, we were doing some yard work in our backyard, and that's when Sophie asked the question, do you believe in God? So I'm pretty sure she was inside at this house and saw something to sort of coaxed this question out of her.
Or even kids talking.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that she didn't say, what's God? Or they were talking about God at the neighbors, but specifically asked, do you believe in God?
Yes.
It makes me wonder if they asked her.
There's a good question.
What they did to her that made her not like that, but like, what happened that made her ask you if you believe? Not just like, why aren't we religious or anything? Yeah.
Why don't we go to church?
Yeah.
Yeah. A similar thing happened with Molly's younger siblings, and their question was, what are we?
Yeah, my sister got very upset one time and was just like, what are we? And mom was like, what do you mean? She's like, are we Jews or are we Christian or are we Muslim or what? Everyone wants to know what we are. And we were talking about religion. I don't even know if we have a thing. And it's like, we're not.
Yep. Oh, that's great. What are we? Yeah. I demand answers.
I need a label. Yeah. Somebody label me.
Well, that was what it was. Was it in school? Yeah. Everyone was labeling each other.
Children wanting to pigeonhole things. And
In their diversity workshop where they were discussing how everyone has a religion and what's yours. And she didn't have an answer. And she was upset.
Irony of ironies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
What did you say?
Well, my answer, that's a great question. My answer, I told her, I said, I do not believe in God. But I sort of explained that many people believe many different things. And there are some people that believe, you know, sort of in the Christian God. And there are people that believe in various versions. Mm-hmm. And I said that when you are a little bit older, you'll be able to sort of think about what it is, you know, what answer you would like to come to.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and I totally get the let's be all liberal and say you know believe whatever you want to. And I had the same conversation with my both of my sons, and it is very hard for me to not go, we don't believe in God.
Yeah.
And that's the right answer.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want you to go looking for another answer because.
Setting yourself up for like teenage rebellion.
I know.
Where they're gonna go right straight to Southern Baptist.
Oh, I know, and that's why you don't do it. And yet, there was that frustration in the back of my head that's like, this is the right answer, but I need to tell you.
I could never have kids. I mean, for real, just the thought of trying to I would be so bad at that. I have that binary thinking, and I would have such a hard time saying, well, this is what I think is right, but there's other people who are wrong who think lots of things. I feel like I would be so, I wouldn't even try, but I wouldn't know how
to. You couldn't be impartial in that way.
I wouldn't know how to be impartial about that stuff. I can't even be impartial in a Facebook conversation.
It seems like that's, you're trying to be impartial and kind of let her come to her own.
There is a lot of that, to sort of come to her own conclusions, right? I was raised Catholic, you know, altar boy, the whole
thing.
Like lots
of atheists.
So many atheists come from that. I can snuff a candle with the best of them. But, it was in high school mostly that I sort of started thinking a lot about different things. Started reading Camus, and then there's...
There's no coming back from Camus.
Did you have a pagan phase? Did you have a pagan Wiccan phase?
I did not go through
A lot of Catholics do because it's so close.
Well, the ritual and
the many gods as opposed to saints.
And the holidays
and
are basically at the same time of year.
Works out.
Yeah.
Basically the same. One was almost just stolen from the other.
Yeah. Did your daughter just let it go or did she keep at?
Yeah, she for the most part, she let it go.
Just,
it hasn't really come up.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's six. She's six. We will have this brief conversation. I will process this for 6 months, and I will return with another question. Yeah.
And that's the thing. The last time we had a conversation like this was around Easter. A lot of it was, what is this day all about?
Do you guys do bunnies and baskets and
we did,
and
yeah,
candy?
We did bunnies, we did baskets and candy.
Yeah, that's what we did too.
Secular Easter.
Secular Easter.
Christmas, kind of the same bag.
Same thing, yes. Yeah. But we did, I think it was while we were, no, it wasn't while we were coloring eggs, and there's a good reason for that. But there was a moment in time around Easter that we sort of got into, this is what the holiday is. and sort of got into the whole, you know, it's a celebration of spring, it's a celebration of renewal of life and all that kind of stuff. And then also layered onto it for a lot of people is the death and resurrection of their Lord Jesus Christ.
And then all these political things happened historically. And,
when I was a kid, my mom, I believed in things like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus until I was about 14, almost 15. And sadly enough, but my mom was a master manipulator and spy, but she would hide our Easter baskets. But like we all knew Jesus wasn't real. Like that wasn't even a question. It was like, well, Jesus is a myth. Mm-hmm. Like, even though we'd been raised Catholic.
And where's that 6-foot-tall anthropomorphic rabbit that hid my candy?
Exactly. If someone was like, well, Jesus died for your sins and that's why it's Easter, I'd be like, oh, that's adorable. Right. But I was like, but the Easter Bunny sneaks in at night and leaves a jelly bean trail to my basket because he knows... he knows Kevin is allergic to chocolate, so he doesn't get chocolate. Like, the Easter Bunny is omnipotent. Is omnipotent and omniscient.
So, you kind of casually mentioned it. What happened with coloring eggs?
So, we color eggs with my brother and his wife. That's sort of the tradition that we've gotten over the past couple of years. And she comes from a much more religious background than I come from.
Does she still have religion, would you say?
Yes, I would say she still
has religion. It's not just the background, it's her.
Definitely still, I think at least on her necklace.
her jewelry indicates she has a strong...
And that's fine. That is not the conversation I'm willing to get into while we're painting faces on.
Right.
It doesn't seem like the right time for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I, you know, we've talked many times about the conversation that I had with my eldest son.
Yeah.
Because he was in Scouts, and we had to talk about God. That was one of the things you had to talk about at one of the like the bear level. Because the Scouts are a religious organization. There's no getting around it.
I would say Christian. They're a Christian organization. Yeah.
They try to be more Judeo-Abrahamic Christian, they're Christian.
In the religion part, they actually have like little badges you can earn, and they've got like 50 different religions you can earn it for, and like 2 or 3 of them are Christian. So
They try.
But we were supposed to talk about religion, and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
So I sat down with him and he's like 7 and I said, okay, so we're going to talk about religion. This is the thing we have to do to get this activity badge. He's like, okay. And I said, your mom and I really don't believe in God.
Mm.
And he was like, well, that's okay. Neither do I. Boom. It was done. It was the easiest conversation ever. Yep. And I did do the whole thing of, you need to understand that other people who believe in God, they aren't stupid. They believe something different than you. Your grandmother very much believes in God. If you ever want to go to church and get that experience and understand, you know, I don't want to make it impossible for you to learn about God. Then Devin, my youngest, he has been trying on religions without any of the work. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So at some point he asked us about Christianity and he decided that he must be a Christian, even though he didn't seem to really believe in any of it.
Mm.
But that seemed like something he wanted to be. So for a while he called himself a Christian. He didn't want to go to church. No. And then later he decided that maybe he wasn't Christian and maybe he just, you know, he believed in God and he just needed to figure out what that meant. And I don't know. The lesson that I've always wanted to teach my children is I do not care whether you believe in God or not. What I care about is the moment you believe somebody else can convincingly tell you that they know what God's
doing. But also, that's kind of not true. You kind of do care if they know.
What he said was, this is what I'm always going to tell my kids.
That's fine.
You can believe in God, and I don't have a problem
you
with that.
You can care, but it won't affect like how you love them you're your dad.
So long as they believe in the Holy Trinity, which is Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and The Last Crusade. As long as they are willing to kneel.
Not Crystal Skull.
I said the Holy Trinity, Tim.
That's just proof of hell, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's like that book from the Bible that they banned because it has like secret Necronomicon magics or whatever.
Proof that there's aliens among us, right? Yeah.
But I don't want them to believe that anybody else can tell them what God's thinking, because I'm like, including me. Including me, because that to me is what's dangerous about religion. When somebody says, I know what God's thinking and I can manipulate you into doing things.
It's a tool of control.
Yes. Yeah. So the quick follow-up question.
Yeah.
What badge did your son get? Did it just have nothing on it?
It's just a blank badge. Right?
His badge didn't exist.
Yeah,
he got the agnostic one. It's just a question mark.
So Riley, so my brother Riley is 13 years younger than me. So he's about to be 24. That's insane. So he, when he was little, he's like 5 or 6, and we're driving around, all of us in the family van, and Riley just all of a sudden goes, "It's Christmas-ish time," and he goes, "Who's that guy on the tee?" And we're like, "What? Like, what do you mean?" He goes, "There's this guy, and there's this tee, and he's up on it, and his arms are out." And my mom and dad just start laughing. Like, they just die. They just start laughing, and they're like, "Oh, that's Jesus." And he's like, "Oh," like another pause. He's like, "What's Jesus? Who's Jesus?" He's like, "Oh, it's a complicated question. He was a guy." Do you remember when we used to take you to Sunday school when mom was like making us go to church for that weird year?
That's his fan club.
And he's like, "No." And we're like, "All right." Like, "All right, well." And he's like, "Well, it's church. It's church." And he's like, "Hmm." And Madeline, who's a year younger, is like, "You know, church, people go to church on Sunday." And he's just like, he's little. They don't know. And so it was just this weird, he could see that it was important because it was everywhere, but he had no concept of what to say about it.
Joe, do you avoid or use religion as a topic ever when you're performing?
That's a great question. Sort of, yeah. The fun thing about sketch comedy and the fun thing about improvisation is that, you know, it's just like regular acting. You're surrendering yourself to that character, right? So those characters might believe a million things that are very strange and not me, but I'll totally get into that. I will completely commit to that.
Sure.
The last written show that Mike and I did, Mary Spider Cafe, which is also coming back for the Fringe Festival, dealt with religion in a very absurd and strange way.
Religion is kind of absurd and strange
by
its very nature.
Yes, yes. But there was a whole... There was a whole strange the floating finger in the sky thing that was happening with it. Some really weird, getting at religion as a very thematic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an attack on any particular religions or anything like that. But there was a bit of an exploration in what do people think as far as like this whole faith thing is concerned.
Yeah.
And we had a sketch called Cool Jesus. So I guess there was that too.
Was he like the hip Jesus that all the kids wanted to be buddies with?
He was hipper than that.
Wow.
He could make dinosaurs appear out of nowhere.
What a cool dude.
Right?
That's date that guy.
Diet Cokes falling from the sky.
What?
I know. He was cool Jesus.
That's pretty star.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I bet he had like 8 pairs of sunglasses and they were all Oakleys.
I know some Facebook advertisements. Yeah, right. It's great.
Yeah, right. God, that's an odd phenomenon. The someone has a hacked Facebook account and you can tell because they're posting sunglasses ads.
Right.
That's so funny.
Do you and your wife want any more kids, or are you...
Oh, we're done.
You're done?
We would rather have sleep.
Do you feel like the little one is starting to get to the point where she's asking any kind of stuff, or is she just... like? Because sometimes I know like little kids can be brought up faster when they have an older sibling.
Well, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure Sophie's going to crack the Easter Bunny / Santa Claus code very soon.
Sophie's the 3-year-old?
Sophie's the 6-year-old.
All right, yeah. And that's good.
Yeah, and I think Emily's a pretty smart one. She's gonna come along on that ride.
Yeah. Alex cracked it at 7 or 8.
I'm so embarrassed.
He was super young when he cracked it. And Devin, I'm pretty sure Devin cracked it at 7 or 8, but he held on to it for a few years.
He's the baby.
He really preferred that Santa Claus was real. Yep. My answer when the kids ask, is Santa Claus real, is always the same. It's, what do you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they say, I really don't think Santa Claus is real, then I'm like, yep, you're right. Well done. You've sussed it out, child.
I would say, if they say, I really don't think Santa Claus is real, a good follow-up question is, what's your evidence?
I should have.
But for real, that's a good follow-up. Like, what's your evidence?
Exercise those skeptical muscles.
What evidence is making you think that? Because I had a lot of evidence to the contrary, which is why I believed so long, is my mom went to great lengths to provide evidence for me that he was real and did exist, and because she knew I was a logical little kid. And it's funny because I think I believed in Santa longer than my, I believed in Santa Claus longer than my older little brother, because he would have been 10 or 11 when I stopped believing. He'd stopped long ago, but he kept quiet.
Wow.
Because his older sister still believed, and so did the little kids.
In our family, it was, you know, me saying, like, I don't think this is, I'm not so sure what's going on. And my brother's 7 years younger than me, and so my parents were like, well, Santa brings more presents, so how do you think, like, just how is this going to work out if there's no Santa? And I was like, fair enough, let's not this anymore, like, we'll just go back to the lie that we're all participating in.
Because. A.K.A. religion.
Right, yeah, the religion of Santa.
The religion of Santa.
Yes.
Santa's much nicer.
Yeah.
So, before we get to five questions, you are at... huge as a part of the Mess.
Yes.
Saturday nights
at 9:30. The Mess is a collection of seven improvisers that just for an hour every Saturday make a complete mess via the art of improvisation.
And you can buy a ticket for the 8 o'clock show. That's good for 8, 9:30 and the whatever it is.
The 8, 9:30 shows is sort of a double bill. So yeah, you get into both of those shows. Let's see, I think through June, Kabam is playing, which is the improvised comic book.
I saw it at Convergence. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, wow. Ridiculously fun.
Big comic fan.
Friend of the show, Christopher Jones, was the artist on that for a while. Oh, yeah. I think he is now.
No, I think they have someone else doing it now. But it's still, it's phenomenal.
A really, really clever, interesting show. Yeah.
Huge is, I think, like, dollar for dollar, it's your best comedy value.
Yep.
Aside from Fair's comedy production.
They've got wine and beer, they've got cider, like,
Tim, how can you put a value on a pay-what-you-can show versus a... It's hard to... I can't do that math.
I'll put value on it.
I can't do that. Don't make me choose. I've every time I've gone, it's like, oh, I can get 3 hours of comedy for $5, and there's cider there.
Yeah.
Like, I've never not had a good time, and... Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, I'm not from Minnesota initially. I'm from Chicago.
No.
And the scene here... the comedy scene across the board is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is so, like, improv, sketch comedy, all the stuff that happens, Fringe Festival is ridiculous. Yeah. There's so much talent here.
I lived in Chicago for a few years, and I took classes at IO, but, like, it was, you didn't have the, maybe it's because the city is so much bigger, it doesn't feel like it's so concentrated, but the concentrated comedy here, like, you can't throw a rock in Minneapolis without hitting somewhere that
you're
does comedy.
We're comedy dense.
We are.
We are comedy.
Well, shit, there's a comedy show at the game, the board game store.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, that's how much there's comedy anywhere they can shoot.
We've got to open up the board game.
It's amazing.
It's a friend of the show, Patrick Bauer, performed there recently as a part of, what is it? It's
Boy Kisses.
At Universe Games.
And here's the thing, having also gone through classes and stuff at I.O., is that there's a competition level in Chicago, right? Because if you're really good, you can go on to Saturday Night Live.
Or some other traveling venue.
Like UCB kind of a level of...
Here, there are wonderful, wonderful venues like the Brave New Workshop and Comedy Sports and stuff, but it is much more about not trying to be the best. It is about the whole community.
Yeah.
And
Minnesota comedians, what Joe just said is no matter how good you are, you will never get on Saturday Night Live.
That is correct.
I've been trying.
I have been trying.
I showed my tits so much, you guys, and they have not called, so...
What you said was, we give a fuck about performing and being artists and not, like, making it and then going out to do a movie based on a sketch.
I guess we're just a little better at comedy than they are in Chicago.
Come in from the hipster level. I think it's time for five questions.
Five questions.
Molly, do you want to...
Question number one.
Yes.
What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Die, repeat.
Yes. We just subscribed to HBO Now.
Mm. Oh, sure.
And it's the first time I've ever had HBO. So we've gone through... I've watched a lot more TV shows than I have movies.
Yeah.
But if we're just asking about movies, I think that would probably be it. It's a lot better than Godzilla.
That's all I know. Yeah. I still haven't seen the latest one. And I don't think Bryan Cranston
can't
save
it. If for no other reason than to see Tom Cruise get shot in the face and punched and hurt. Yeah. And it's amazing.
We did a whole episode about that.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Sure.
You
know, it was, we really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was a very fun take on it and much better than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now that the gates of HBO have opened, is there anything else that you've kind of checked out or watched?
Well, we had already watched all of The Wire, so that's good.
Because that would have been the first thing I was going to recommend.
You got to watch The Wire.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Have you watched Game of Thrones?
We are currently watching Game of Thrones.
I was going to say, because after The Wire, after Kirkcaldy, you got to see Kirkcaldy as Littlefinger.
Yeah.
I still, every once in a while, when he has that moment with Sansa, I just wish he would say, I was mayor of Baltimore.
He's a manipulative politician in both.
Right,
in both shows.
Yeah,
it's great.
True Detective. We've been.
I highly recommend Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. It is a fantastic.
Yeah.
It is probably some of the best news, and also there's
social
comedy,
justice.
But really the best news, social commentary, social justice.
Political
out there.
I'm going to say a tweet I put out. I think John Oliver throws the weight of his show around for social good. And by the weight of his show, that also means the weight of HBO around in a way that should make Stephen Colbert jealous.
Yeah,
it's really great.
It's good. Question number two, what's your favorite atheist character?
I was thinking hard about this.
No, it's a tough question.
And I'm going to go with Jodie Foster from Contact.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the reason why. I think that was the first character I remember seeing that was very much like, I'm an atheist and is very much a part of who I am.
I agree with that.
And I'm in a very mainstream movie.
Yeah.
Plus she says, they should have sent the poet, which is one of my most ridiculous lines.
Plus, she's
it's cliche,
not,
but it's true. It's
right.
Well, and she's not just a character that's saying that. She's the lead.
Yeah.
She's a woman.
Yep.
And she's saying, and I don't believe in God.
She's like a leader in her STEM field.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they could have very easily made her more Sandra Bullocky in Gravity, where she's like, I need help from God or whatever. But
I haven't seen that yet.
I think good job of not making her disbelief in God be about her parents' death when she's so young.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
it just
you don't get a feeling that she's an atheist because her parents were taken away from
she's
her.
She's not an angry at God atheist.
Yeah.
She's just an atheist.
She's just
she's just seen so much science.
I've looked at the evidence and the evidence says no God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you read the book?
I have not.
I haven't either. And I feel like it's a thing I need to check off the list.
It's a little bit different than the film,
thanks.
But not a lot.
Okay.
The film is a very strong adaptation.
Is Matthew McConaughey in the book?
The Matthew McConaughey character.
No, is Matthew McConaughey in the book?
Like you open the book and he pops out, like cowboy hat and Dick from Magic Mike or something. But
that's what I love about the printed word. I get older and it stays on pages.
He's not in my copy, but I don't want to say that he's not in any copy.
Sure,
because I haven't seen evidence of that.
You're right. You're agnostic about the presence of Matthew McConaughey in books. Okay, good. Wonderful. Question number three is, what is your geekiest hobby?
That's, like 4 years ago, I would have said video games for sure. But now it's probably writing poetry.
Oh, yeah.
They should have sent you.
They should have sent me. That's, yes. I'm trying to
be
fulfill.
That poet.
I could be Jodie Foster.
Do you like metered verse? Do you like freeform?
Freeform, very much freeform. Yes.
Like E.E. Cummings freeform or like?
A little, more like Kerouac, more along those lines.
Not so much formatting as just like well-crafted. Like choosing your words carefully, but no meter reverse. Like,
that's correct. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
But I put up a new poem every single day on Tumblr. So
cool. Where is your Tumblr located?
ClackyJ.tumblr.com.
Clacky J.
I think that's
I'll make sure I put up
thank you.
We've never had a poet.
Oh yeah.
They've never sent a poet.
And I just recently self-published a book too. So
you even had them with you at. shows to.
I've had at a couple of shows.
So have you written any? Like, do you ever try to write in specific types of meter reverse or any like things like that? Like,
not
you
since
try?
College. Yeah.
Interesting.
Now you just write the poetry that you want to write.
That's exactly right.
That's an adult prerogative.
Yes.
Question four is, what is your favorite sandwich?
I did not think long about this. when I was going to school, or when I was going through classes at Improv Olympic back in the late 90s, early 2000s, Bar Louie right next door had the best turkey sandwich I've ever had. And I didn't discover it until, like, I was pretty close to moving up here. So I've only had a few of them, but every time I was by there, I was like, go do a show or go take classes, and then go to Bar Louie and get a turkey sandwich.
So what was special about it?
I'm not sure. There was it's been over 15 years. So I don't remember what it was about it. But
remember the turkey.
I remember the turkey.
They bake their own bread. I know that. Because I used to get po' boys from them all the time.
Sure.
That were like, they had like a shrimp Creole po' boy. Because one of the great things about Chicago is everything delivers everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can get late night delivery from any restaurant at like 4 a.m. But that's super good.
I just remember, I remember being obsessed about these sandwiches. So it's got to be the best.
Yeah. Right, be the best.
Me. Clearly.
There is no way to get around it. All right. Last question. Number five. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism, disbelief, whatever?
Yes. I'm guessing after this I'll get a lot more comments.
Oh, my God. Joe Bozick is an atheist.
Right.
It should be non-controversial. It should be a non-issue.
It should be. And that's the thing. I'm a pretty easygoing guy, so I don't tend to get into a lot of conversations or arguments about it. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been like, probably since college, you know, except for the few Jehovah's Witnesses that come by here and there. It probably hasn't been since college that I've gotten into an argument with someone that could not see my viewpoint without putting on top of it you're going to be doomed to hell.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That the only way I can process it is through the lens of everyone must believe the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then you will suffer the consequences. I can only imagine, I can only imagine through this lens.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem with their mindset is our mindset threatens theirs. Yes. So the idea that someone could not believe in God and not care, mm-hmm. and not be constantly looking over their shoulder and worried threatens the entire thing that they've founded their life on. And so they have to tell you over and over you're going to hell. They have to tell you how doomed you are.
Well, the biggest thing for me is that I'm very much into that Camus philosophy of there is no meaning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
absurdist.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
There's no need to go searching for it. Because it's not there.
Yeah.
You can just
the only meaning
let it
in
go.
Life is the meaning that you give it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And therefore, everything you do matters, and like
or
that's
nothing.
Beautiful.
Right. Everything matters or nothing matters.
Or
either
doesn't.
Way.
Yeah,
either
it's,
way.
But there's. You have to be able to come to peace with the fact that there is that meaninglessness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you can't get to peace that way, then it's a very scary proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Which is why I want to leave it open for my daughters. I want them to figure out how can they come to peace, right?
You want them to be happy, successful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and well-balanced and, you know, good people.
Yes.
And if they do that through this thing that you don't believe in, but they're still good people...
And they're happy.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
I mean, that's...
Exactly.
You don't want to end up with kids that are like, I don't believe in anything because of my fucking father. You know, like, I mean, it's... You don't want to have them feel embittered and twisted by your just congenial non-belief.
I'm not a Catholic because of my fucking parents.
Well, I
think of the guests we've had on the podcast who are the second generation atheists who are, mm-hmm. you know, their parents were a-religious and they were raised in that non-tradition, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they themselves are non-believers. I feel like those people never had to go through a period where they were in any way rebelling against a religion or angry at religion or angry at God, which are sometimes these phases that people go through, or even like trying out different religions on their way to non-belief. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like almost all of those people seemed to be the most well balanced or zen atheists in that way. To use something that's based in religion, but they, I don't know. It's kind of a
failure.
It's kind of a generalization about a very small sample group. But those folks are all like Megan Culverhouse sticks out in mind. I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Joe.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Having you on and answering our five questions, going through the gauntlet.
The mess on Saturdays,
9:30 at Huge, which is like 31st in Lindale, South Minneapolis. If you don't know where it is, you should fix that and go there.
Right by the Bryant Lake Bowl, where you may have seen Vilification Tennis.
That's right. Not just spitting distance. If you have really powerful spitting muscles.
Yeah. Or strong
wind. You could drive a car from one to the other. That's how close.
Yeah.
You can even walk.
It's a 2-minute walk. All right. We've been Geeks Without God. Again, as always, you can find us on iTunes. Please rate us there. All that good stuff. We will see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Geeks Without God improv group names. Ready, go.
Party Cat Fun Bus.
Chucky Cotton Nosebleed.
Big Bear Jamboree.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I'm not going to talk about dicks right now.